Good evening. If you would go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Everything seems to be in order, so that's good. This passage is going to be the basis of our lesson tonight. It's one we're all familiar with, but I think it's a good, important message for Christians of all ages and even non-Christians. So let's go ahead and read it. Starting in verse 28, it says, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?' Jesus answered, 'The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" I'd like to start by addressing the question. You have a scribe that's in the midst of this multitude that's, if you go up to verse 13, it talks about the Herodians and the Pharisees. They were trying to trap Jesus in a statement with their questions. And as I kind of go through life, I guess all of us do it from time to time. We think about when we get to heaven, when we get to the presence of God, what do we want to ask him? And so often, I know my mind goes towards trap type questions unintentionally. I'm not trying to trap anything, but questions like, why do bad things happen to kids? Why did you allow evil into the world at all? Those kinds of questions. Luckily, there was a scribe here in the multitude that had the wisdom to ask a really good question. He asked, what's the greatest command? What's the most important? And then, you know, based on the wisdom that he saw from Jesus, he asked this wise question, not even knowing that Jesus was God on earth. And then Jesus gave a direct answer. He didn't answer with a parable. He answered him directly and blessed the scribe and the whole multitude with this great answer of what the most important command is. And then to top it off, the Holy Spirit through Mark, he recorded it for all of us. And we're blessed to be at a time that we can read what was written, what was said, excuse me, and we can know what the most important command is. So, great question, great answer, and we're all better for having heard it, I hope. So I'd like to talk about it a little bit more. Most of it should be a refresher to us. But I'll go ahead and state it, make sure we're all on the same page. We know that agape is the Greek for love that's being used here. And the Vines calls it Christian love. I think that defines it as good as anything. We all know that it's an action-oriented kind of love. It's not the affectionate kind of love that you would have for your family or for your friends, something like that. It's the kind of love that you can demonstrate toward your best friend, your mom, even a perfect stranger, or even an enemy that you don't have good feelings for. Agape love can be demonstrated on anybody. And then we have the heart, soul, mind, and strength. What does that entail? Everything, right? This isn't rocket science. You know, we all know this. But Jesus covered everything when he said, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Our actions, the sincerity of our actions, our attitudes, our intellect, our feelings, our decision making, anything else you can possibly think of falls into loving God with that. Okay, now we get into something a little bit more challenging. We can understand the principle easy enough. Applying it is a little bit more difficult. But how do we love the Lord, our God, with everything we have? Let's look at a couple of passages. Start in 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. It states, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him." And then John chapter 14 and verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So, plain and simple. What does it mean to love God with everything you've got? You obey His commandments. You do everything you can to not sin. I put a picture of a cliff up here. And I want you to kind of think of that, because I'd like to kind of describe the difference between an immature Christian, his way of thinking, versus a mature Christian. The immature Christian sees the line between right and wrong as just that, a line. And you can get up close to that line, no big deal. I'm still on the right side. You can go across and it's no big deal. I can get back to the right side, easy enough. The mature Christian sees that line between right and wrong as a cliff. You may be able to come back, but you also are aware that there are snares out there that the devil is placing. And you never know which sin it's going to be that you go across to the wrong side and you can't get back. And you fall to your destruction. And so a mature Christian is one that has a fear of heights and is standing up on top of this big old rock. They don't get anywhere close to that edge. I think Matthew 5:29 verses 29 and 30 demonstrate that very well. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell." I thought that might be me. "And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell." We can see here, a Christian should do whatever it takes to be right, to be righteous. If it gets this far, I hope it doesn't. But if it gets this far, are you willing to do that? As an example, if your problem is when you get tired, you get grumpy, maybe you should get your sleep. Not that hard. If the internet, you can't stay off of the dirty sites, cut the cord. Don't be alone on the internet. You know, it's not that hard. If materialism is your problem, cut up your credit cards. Make yourself live within your means. If you keep stealing, cut your hand off. I hope that you would get help and use a more sane way to do it. But if it gets to that, I hope you're willing to do what it takes to be righteous. So then the question comes up when we talk about love the Lord with all. That word all. How can you possibly do that? Life gets in the way, does it not? So are we loving the Lord with all of our being when we do things like work, when we have relaxation time like this dog, when we sleep or eat, play, anything else that's not really spiritual in nature? Y'all like that picture, huh? I'm seeing some smiles. Okay. I'd like to start by answering that question by stating that common sense just has to prevail. You know, God has a lot of it, FYI. He's a smart cookie, and He knows everything. So, obviously, to be able to even do the things that God tells us to do, we have to get our sleep. We have to eat. We have to take care of our bodies. We have to take care of our families, all that stuff. We have to work. It's just common sense, really. But things like be sober-minded. Go get on WebMD and see what happens if you miss a few days of sleep. The effects on the body. The effects of the body from stress. You need your relaxation and your playtime, or you'll be stressed out. And these things are necessary to live a functional life as a human being. So work is the same way. People that just don't work, your mind gets all messed up with boredom and all that. I've been bored before. It's really not very fun. It leads to depression a lot of times. And to continue the work here, I mean, it's just simple things, but the answer is common sense must prevail. And of course, you can serve the Lord with everything and still have these other things going on. One other thing that I'll say is that, if I can think of it, Maybe I won't. Okay, let's move on. Let's look at loving others. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. These passages show that as far as our part is concerned, we should be at peace with all men. We should love each other. A lot of that is not being selfish. One thing that I know hits home with most of us is not necessarily toward our enemies or strangers or anything like that, but in our own homes, with our parents, with our spouses, with our siblings. When we get angry, when we get into fights, are we still Christians? Are we still going to this great command that Jesus gave us? You know, when you're trying to win an argument versus trying to get to the bottom of what's right or wrong, you know, we really need to take some time and look at ourselves sometimes and remember who we are all the time. With our enemies, of course, that's something that's very difficult. It's certainly not. It goes against nature, I'll say. It's very easy to get up with people that you don't like and to retaliate. And being poised is very difficult, but it's something that we should always strive to get better at. I'm going to read a little bit more than what I have up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 33. The verses up here are really the ones that I want to look at, but I want to get some context. So starting in verse 23, it says, "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, 'This has been offered in sacrifice,' then do not eat it, for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved." It's probably over a year ago. The Kyle had said in a class or in one of his sermons, he said that in our minds, if we can change from seeing people as people and start looking at them as souls, it can really help us to change our view toward other people's. You know, if you're looking at your enemy who's done bad things to you, if you start looking at them as a soul, I care about souls. You know, I know how precious a soul is. And I certainly want my soul to be saved, and I recognize that I'm a sinner just like anybody else. And so if I can picture even my enemy as a soul, maybe I can help my actions to lead them to the right way. I'm not seeking my own advantage anymore. I don't care if I'm hurt. I don't care if I'm wronged in some way. If I can help get that person to do what's right, and just stop being so selfish all the time. We need to love each other, and we need to love God, plain and simple. And my slides aren't really looking as great as they should, but that's really my lesson. It's a short one, but I think it's a good one for us to think of. I put this little quote that you see on Valentine's Day most of the time. "I love you not just for who you are, but for who I am when I'm with you." That really applies when you're thinking about your relationship with God. God is perfect. He is the definition of good. And yes, I love him for that, but I also love him for everything he's done for me and for who I've become because I'm with him. If you're not with him, I urge you to get into a relationship with God. You'll never make a better decision. If you have stopped loving God with every fiber of your being and you need our help in any way, we ask you to come forward now as we stand and sing.